Track 1. Welcome to the Home Study course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled DID, Picking Up the Pieces, Techniques for Treating Dissociative Identity Disorder. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. I will be the narrator of this CD set. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of the course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., who have been diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on RCDs is valuable, thus we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded them. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint. After you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professionals. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapists, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purpose of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. Clearly, a therapist treating a DID client needs to have experience with this disorder. Of course, ethically, if you are treating a client whom you discover has a dissociative identity disorder, and this is not your area of expertise, a referral to an experienced mental health professional is needed. On this CD set, we will discuss such topics as personality histories, behavioral contracts, promoting internal communication, conversation topics and internal decision-making, control over switching, transference, talking through, memory assembly, the internal self-helper, working with internal persecutors, resistance to treatment, mapping the personality system, and therapeutic resolutions. So let's get started. On the rest of this track, we will discuss meeting the alter personalities of a client with dissociative identity disorder. As you know, the DSM states that the diagnosis of dissociative identity disorder can only be made after the therapist has met one or more alter personalities and determined that at least one alter personality is distinct and takes full control of the individual's behavior from time to time. But how do you go about meeting alter personalities in a client suspected to have a dissociative identity disorder? In a groundbreaking book, Frank Putman indicates that alter personalities can be discovered in one of three ways. Three ways of meeting the alter personalities are the alter personalities come out, indirect inquiry, and direct inquiry. Are you currently treating a client you feel may have alter personalities? If so, you might consider applying some of the techniques on this track in your next session. First, let's discuss when alter personalities come out voluntarily. As you may already know, NIMH, the National Institute of Mental Health, Data suggests that in about half of all cases, the meeting is initiated by one or more alters who come out voluntarily and identify themselves as being different from the client. Have you found that it is fairly common for an alter personality to approach a therapist in person, by phone, or by letter? In Julie's case, her alter identified himself as a friend of Julie in a letter I received. Julie, age 39, had not presented with signs or symptoms of DID. However, this spontaneous revelation of diagnosis occurred shortly after the death of her mother. Have you found that crisis in your client's life may lead to the discovery of alter personalities? But what if the alter personality or personalities do not come out? Next, let's discuss indirect inquiry. In my practice, this is generally my first approach if I suspect a client of having DID. For example, I suspected that Alan, age 37, have a dissociative identity disorder. In a previous session, Alan had failed to recall some personal information that seemed too extensive to be explained by ordinary forgetfulness. Therefore, I asked, "Have you ever felt like more than one person?" Alan responded, "Sometimes I don't know who I am. I feel like I might be a lot of people. Maybe there really isn't a me." Occasionally, you may get a more direct response, such as, "Yes, there is another part of me, and her name is Beth." However, if your client answers somewhat ambiguously, like Alan, you might follow up by asking, "Do you ever feel as if there is some other part of yourself that comes out and does or says things that you would not do or say?" When I asked Alan this question, his answer was again ambiguously positive. So I began to ask for specific examples. For example, Alan had admitted to a number of dissociative symptoms and said that at times he felt as if he was someone else. Alan vaguely described the someone else as hostile and angry. I then asked, "Can this other part of you come out and talk to me?" Have you found that similar questions can cause distress in clients with DID? It seemed that Alan felt barely able to suppress the appearance of his undesirable alter and did not wish to have me invite the alter personality to come out. Have you found that it is not uncommon for the host to feel in competition with the alters for the therapist's attention? Alan appeared reluctant to introduce his alter personality. He stated, "It's not possible for the other part of me to come out right now. I've got more control than he does." At this point, therapists dealing with DID may become nervous. I know I have. I find myself asking questions like, "How do I get these personalities to come out? What will happen if they do come out? Are they dangerous? What if I'm wrong and there really aren't any personalities? Will I actually create some by asking for them?" However, the basic way to meet alter personalities is by asking directly. So, in addition to when the alter personalities come out voluntarily and indirect inquiry, a third method for meeting alter personalities is direct inquiry. Direct inquiry can sometimes be harder for the therapist than for the client. For example, you might feel unnecessarily foolish. In my practice, to overcome these feelings, I focus on what needs to be done. The first question is that of who to ask for. Would you agree that asking for the alter that you have the most information about can be productive? For example, Alan had described losing several jobs due to angry outbursts that he could not remember. Therefore, when I implemented direct inquiry with Alan, I stated, "I would like to talk directly to that part of you who came out last Wednesday at work and told your boss to stuff it." With Alan, I found that the chances of eliciting his alter increased with more direct specification of this suspected alter. If you have a proper name, use that. But a repeated description of an attribute or function can also be useful. For example, Alan's angry and hostile alter became known as the Angry One. Regarding some do's and don'ts which pertain to direct inquiry, you already know that requests for an alter personality should be made in an invitational tone rather than as a demand. But would you agree that avoiding the word personality can also help? Most clients are aware of why you are asking certain questions. Therefore, I prefer to use terms such as side, facet, part, or aspect to avoid negative connotations. After I asked Alan directly about his alter personality, nothing appeared to happen. I observed Alan closely for behavior that may indicate a switch in character. If this becomes a case with your client, you may find yourself wondering if the alter personality really exists. I ask myself, does this client appear to be more uncomfortable by my request? In my experience, clients who do not have DID are not seriously distressed by requests to meet a non-existential part. Clients without DID wait it out or simply say, I don't think there's anything there. However, clients with DID often show significant discomfort with persistent attempts to elicit an alter. For example, Alan began to complain of somatic discomfort in the form of a headache and stomach pain. In some cases, clients may enter an unresponsive trance-like state. However, even though Alan showed evidence of significant distress with my requests, I persisted. Regarding ethical treatment of clients, how long to persist becomes a judgment call. Not all alters emerge at the first request, and of course, your undiagnosed client may not have DID at all. Because Alan appeared distressed, and I wasn't sure if he switched, I asked, "What are you feeling now?" Alan replied, "Angry." I asked, "Why do you feel angry, Alan?" Alan replied, "My name is Vaughn." If, unlike Alan, your client continues to provide strong evidence that he or she is having frequent dissociative episodes, but you were unable to elicit an alter personality by direct request, then you may want to consider the use of hypnosis. Later on this course, we will discuss hypnosis further. How can the three methods of meeting alter personalities benefit you in your practice? Would asking some direct questions help you uncover a client's alter personalities? On this track, we have discussed meeting the alter personalities of a client with dissociative identity disorder. Three ways of meeting the alter personalities are the alter personalities come out voluntarily, indirect inquiry, and direct inquiry. On the next track, we will discuss personality histories. Four basic lines of questioning are outlined on the next track to help with obtaining a psychopathological personality history. They are naming each personality, determining physical aspects of the alter, determining perceived function, and chaining. Question 1. What are three ways of meeting the alter personalities of a client with dissociative identity disorder?